Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this here show. It's Thursday, December the 4th, 2025. Joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Brother Fred Jackson.
Hey, hello, man. Again.
And I'm calling everybody Brother today. Brother Ray.
Richard, hey, doing, Tim. Ray? How you doing this morning?
It's all good. It's all good. We haven't, I hadn't been on a boat that's been blown up. Which I consider,
that's good. That's, good. That's, you know, a good start to the day.
I consider a blessing.
When that happens, you ruin your whole day right there.
Man. And then if they miss the first time, they're coming
they're
again.
Shoot you again.
The old expression, you never knew what hit you.
Yeah.
Applies here. All right. Raised in Florida, sunny Florida, 74, 75. What is it today, Ray?
Going up. It's cooling down to 75 degrees
man,
today.
Bless your heart.
Oh, man.
Listen, we're not going to do this all winter.
I know.
So we're getting this out of the way, and then we understand that you're having nice weather there. As folks who don't know, Ray and Marlene, they moved to become
part of the year
snowbirds.
Yeah.
Florida 6 months and Kansas City 6 months.
That's
right?
About right. Yeah.
And we can see Ray. We have when Ray is on remotely, we have a little iPad. We each have an iPad. So we do that not just so we can stare at each other, but you know, if we have to gesture or whatever.
Yeah.
But the moment that Ray gets on and I see him with a little drink with an umbrella in it,
yeah,
I'm leaving.
That's right. Okay,
we're going too far then.
Yeah.
Keep the umbrella off camera.
And so, if you dare come to us by sitting out by the pool.
Yeah. What?
I know.
What's that? I hear Jimmy Buffett music in the background.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
What's that parrot doing on your shoulder, Ray?
I know.
Arr.
The world's collapsing and you're just cruising.
I know.
All right. A lot to talk about today. We appreciate you joining us on the program. As always, Today's Issues here. And Fred, what's the first on the agenda there?
Well, early this morning, FBI agents arrested a young man by the name of Brian Cole in Northern Virginia. They believe he is the man who planted those two pipe bombs back on January 5th, 2021, less than 24 hours before that riot broke out at the U.S. Capitol. They picked him up 5 years. 5 years they've been trying to track this guy down. And he's the one.
Why did it take so long? Do you have any answer?
I don't have that answer for you right now. But he was. They've shown some video this morning of this guy. Very interesting. They had a detective on from, I think he worked for the New York Police Department at one time. The investigation on these things, because this guy had, you know, one of these hoodies on over his head, et cetera, et cetera. But they even look at a suspect's gait, how he walks. And then they use that and they use AI and all this sort of thing to kind of narrow down suspects. Anyway, they have this guy in custody. Remember, pipe bombs were planted outside the Republican and Democratic National Committee headquarters there in D.C. They were discovered, the pipe bombs, before anybody arrived on January 6th. They combed the area. But that's what we know at this hour. He's in custody, and I'm sure we'll learn more about what evidence they have, what led to the arrest of this young man by the name of Brian Cole.
How old was he?
I believe he's in his 20s.
Okay. And that's odd. So it doesn't sound like he was politically driven one way or another, you know, when you're going to the Republican and Democrat offices to try to kill people.
The story that from Fox News this morning does mention that at one point, who's now the deputy FBI director, Dan Bongino, at one point long before he took that particular office, he suggested, he said it was an inside job. Now, what he meant by that, because there's been speculation about FBI agents intermingling with the crowd and all that sort of thing, this is going to be an interesting case, but this is a major development that they made this arrest. We'll know more.
And these were live bombs, right? They're capable. These weren't just fakes.
Oh, no.
These were capable of exploding.
Yes, they were. Okay. Yes, they were. So very dangerous.
I didn't know that you could do this, that you could narrow down the list of suspects by virtue of someone's gait,
yeah,
how they walk.
How they walk.
I didn't know that.
No, this is new, this is part of the new technology.
All I can say is I'd be pretty safe because at my age, depending on whether I've twisted something or tweaked something, my walk can change from moment to moment. So they have a hard time, you know.
Pegging you.
That's right. Yeah. Pegging. I like that.
Yeah,
I see you sometimes with a peg leg kind of.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so we'll see that. That is a developing story at this hour. Also, today is the first anniversary of the assassination of the CEO of UnitedHealthcare, Brian Thompson. We all remember that in New York City a year ago. He had just left the hotel, and somebody came up from behind and shot him in the back, killed him. And the man who's been arrested, the young man, again, who's been arrested in this case, his name is Luigi Mangione. He is in court today. His lawyers are arguing that the evidence that the prosecution plans to present, some of it is not admissible. You remember Mr. Mangione was arrested, I think it was a few days later. He was at a restaurant, I believe in Pennsylvania, and they came in. One of the workers at the restaurant identified him, felt he was the guy the cops were looking for in connection with this assassination. The cops came in, and they talked to him, and they put their hands on the backpack that Mr. Mangione had. They talked to him for about 20 minutes before they read his Miranda rights. And that's what his lawyers are going after, because in that backpack was a gun that authorities have matched to the gun that was used in the assassination. Also, there was a pad with writing on it in the backpack.
Is he claiming innocence?
Oh, yeah, not guilty, yes.
Well, I guess it would be on the technicality of an illegal search.
Yes.
Yeah, that they waited. They waited too long to read him his Miranda rights?
That's the argument.
And they searched his backpack.
Yes.
Okay.
Perhaps they're saying without probable cause, certainly was without a warrant, but I'm sure the police...
Well, you know what? No, man. He blew the guy's head off.
He killed him.
They got him on video.
Yeah.
Is he claiming... I know you're innocent until proven guilty in this country, but are you saying there's a chance he gets off for murder by... Because somebody didn't read the Miranda rights?
This is the exclusion. The exclusionary rule is what it's called, and it is controversial. But this goes back to the 60s, and the exclusionary rule says that if evidence is obtained by the police doing something unconstitutional, like an illegal search,
okay,
then that evidence has to be excluded from the case.
Because it could have been planted?
Well, no, just because... You have to have a warrant, for example, to search a backpack,
yeah,
or a home. And if you go in and find evidence of a crime without a warrant in violation of the Fourth Amendment, then that evidence that you have, mm-hmm, is excluded. So then what would happen is that Mangione, his trial would have to exclude the gun. You could not enter that into evidence. You could not say, well, here's the gun. This was the gun used to kill the CEO. It was found in Mangione's backpack.
I didn't know he was – I'm sorry, I haven't been following this very closely. Ray, did you know the guy claimed he didn't do it?
No.
He's pleaded not guilty.
I thought he was proud of himself for what he – because he was taking out this capitalist guy who was exploiting people in the insurance industry. Go ahead.
So, Ed, you're saying that – in the circumstance you just described, not only could they not bring the gun in, I suppose they couldn't even say the gun was in the backpack. I mean, they can't even mention it, right?
That's right. It would be excluded. And we've probably all seen Law and Order episodes where evidence was obtained illegally, and the judge says you can't. And the judge would instruct the jury, you can't consider the fact that the gun, even if he had on the pad of paper, if he had a signed confession, if that was obtained illegally in an unconstitutional manner, it can't be used against Mangione for the alleged crime. We'll say that he still is innocent until proven guilty. But I think he's pled not guilty. I don't think he's confessed to this, has he?
No.
He's pled not. I'm sure his lawyer said you got to plead not guilty or you'll probably get the chair.
What's interesting?
I'm gonna ask a dumb human. Why does somebody go to the extent that he did? I'm assuming he's guilty. Okay, because the video footage and the fact that he was on the run, and the fact that all these things. Why would he, and he's smiling every day. I see him in pictures and so forth, in court and so forth. Why would they just say, yeah, I did it, and I did it why would you say I didn't do something that you're proud of doing because you were supporting a cause greater than yourself, according to their
dogma? I mean, that would certainly, I would understand your question.
You'd be a martyr
if he was doing it for, personal glory. If he was doing, let's say he planned on killing multiple, I say again, we're assuming that Mangione, let's say maybe he was planning on killing multiple CEOs for the purpose of killing people he thinks is evil, not necessarily for getting famous doing it.
Yeah,
that's a sidebar story, an important part of this story, because what we have going on this week is hearings there in Washington or New York, and Mangione has a cheerleading club in the courtroom. There are about 20 people, I'm told, dressed in green, because there is a cause out there that insurance companies are ripping people off.
Right.
And he actually has people who agree with what he did. In fact, I think money has been raised for his defense based on a group of people out there who think insurance companies should be punished.
Right.
Yeah, anyway. All right, well, we'll see what happens. That's going on in New York City today. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, if folks were listening to our program yesterday, we talked a lot about what's going on with President Trump's policy with regards to Venezuela. In particular, the latest controversy is that in one of the attacks on one of these drug boats, there was a second missile that went into the boat while there were survivors. That is the subject of closed-door hearings on Capitol Hill today. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, says he was in the room for the first missile that hit this particular boat. I think it was early September. But he had left the room. Hegseth says he left the room when the second missile hit this vessel. But Hegseth has named Admiral Mitch Bradley as the man who gave the okay to send the second missile. Admiral Bradley is being questioned by Democrats and Republicans, both in the House and in the Senate, about this incident. Again, it's behind closed doors. The House hearing is over already. He is now in the Senate. Senator Jim Banks of Indiana sits on the Armed Services Committee. This is what he had to say this morning about all of this in an interview with Fox and Friends. It's cut number 15.
Well, I think we want to learn the truth. And the more that we learn the truth, the more we realize that President Trump and Secretary of War Hegseth are doing exactly what the American people elected them to do. And that's to protect America from narco-terrorists who are flooding our country with poisonous drugs. Over 70% of Americans support President Trump striking these drug boats. So, and we find out in this case that Admiral Bradley did exactly what he was supposed to do to prevent these drugs to come into our country. This was an active operation. The more that we know the truth, the more that we know that they did exactly what they were supposed to do. I mean, the fact of the matter is, under Joe Biden, the open borders, the poisonous drugs flowing into our country killed over 100,000 Americans a year. That's more every year than those Americans who died in the war in Vietnam. And now President Trump is the first president that we've had in 40 years who's been serious about fighting the war on drugs, and he's taking on the drug cartels.
So there you have it. Senator Banks believes the second missile was justified.
Right.
Well, this I think is going to resolve out this way. The liberals, the progressive, the left are looking for any way to attack President Trump. And I actually agree. It's an interesting debate on sending these missiles down on the narco-terrorist, okay? That's an interesting debate. But in the end, the American people are going to agree that if you're going to go after the drug boats, and if you are certain, if your intelligence, if your briefing, if you know these guys are narco-terrorists, Americans are going to say, shoot once and then shoot again until you kill them all. Because what's the point of shooting some but not killing all the guys who are bringing this poison into our country? I think Americans are going to be on the president's side ultimately when all of this is said and done.
You're looking at me.
I'm looking at you, Ed. Why don't you solve this problem for us? Listen, okay. Can we just speak freely?
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay, because I don't have the right. I don't have. I admit that I don't. My mind can be changed, and I don't have the answers to this, except maybe what Ray said. Well, as a just determination of right and wrong. But there's a part of me that doesn't like blowing up a boat out in the middle of the Caribbean. And then
agreed. Then, nobody really likes that.
No,
right?
I know. Well, I say like.
You better be sure. You better be rock solid sure.
But well, we've blown up multiple boats
right
out in the Caribbean Sea, and then after we're through shooting the rocket into the boat, if we see survivors, we gun them down. You know, we just gun them down out there in the water and leave them for dead for the sharks to eat.
What's left of them?
What's left of them, and then we move on. Is that the way our military's set up?
All right. So we discussed this yesterday, and I got in trouble with Wesley. Okay.
Well, you do drift left sometimes.
on issues like it's this. Only because my left tire needs to be aired up, okay. And sometimes.
Well, you did grow up in Boston. So.
I did. There. So I like I said yesterday, I think this is a law enforcement issue. And is not an issue for the military simply because the military is called to kill people and break things and destroy things. Okay, I personally think these boats should be interdicted by the Coast Guard, these people arrested. I personally don't like the missiles sinking boats in international waters. And this goes to the rules of engagement. Even if you can prove that these are narco, this is a terrorist state, okay? When we were in World War II and you shot down a plane, you were not supposed to gun down the pilot who's parachuting to the ground. That was just considered a war crime because they were out of the fight. I think that's the terminology that they use in the Geneva Convention or whatever. And to me, that's what this is. This is someone parachuting out of a plane that you've shot down, and then you fly over and you
finish them off.
Now you finish them off. And that's why I don't like the second missile. Now, Fred, are we sure there's a second missile? Some of the things I've read have said this is speculation on the part of the media, or the media has gotten word from anonymous sources. Do we know for a fact that there's a second missile that was used?
No. In fact, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, said I was in the room for the first one.
Yeah.
I had to leave to go to another meeting, but he said he backs Admiral Bradley, okay, who gave the okay for the second missile on that particular vessel.
So that's an established fact. Yeah. Anyway, that's like you said, Tim. Everybody's all over the place on this. We've kind of entered some new territory here. And I think Ray's right. I think most Americans are going to be okay with killing these folks because they are purposefully bringing in drugs to kill Americans. They know that's the result of it. And so I may be, kind of in the minority on this, but anyway, that's my two cents.
Thought we should hear from President Trump, who was asked about this yesterday. Cut number two, Adam.
Venezuela sends us drugs, but Venezuela sends us people that they shouldn't be sending. They sent us, they emptied their prisons into our country. They sent us killers, murderers. They sent us drug dealers at the highest level. They sent us gang members. They sent us people from their mental institutions. They emptied their mental institutions into our country.
And,
they came over old buses, or how'd that work exactly?
I think this is during the caravans. The caravans, remember?
Yeah. Venezuela?
Yeah.
So,
interesting. Democrats have been asked about this, and you can imagine how they feel about the idea of going after these votes that apparently are coming out of Venezuela with these very harmful drugs. Cut number four.
Most narco traffickers are not in those boats. They pay people to do that, and usually people are not significantly involved with narco trading. It's the way they make money.
This is not who we are. This is not America.
People on a boat in the middle of the Caribbean carrying cocaine are not a direct threat to the lives of our service members or Americans.
There is no such thing as a narco-terrorist.
All right, so great. So now I'm linked to all the Democrats. Thanks a lot, Fred.
Well, it does become, in my mind, it does become a little ambiguous, a little murky when we have a Islamic terrorist, for example, or some other kind of person driven by ideology, committing acts of terrorism against our people, our servicemen. We understand that. You got to kill these people. You got to take them out. You got to find them. You got to prevent them from harming us. When you change a person to a package of drugs and you say it's narco-terrorism, to me that's a stretch on the word terrorism, okay?
Right.
Now, if you want to say it's killing American citizens by virtue of drug addictions that they are suppliers for, okay, that is immoral, it's evil, it's wicked, but it's to me it's different. But
well, the fentanyl's coming from China, right? Isn't that where this originates?
Yes.
All right, so
Components.
All right. So we're going to hold them accountable? We're going to start, sinking boats that are Chinese?
Sinking Chinese boats?
No,
we're not going to do that.
I don't think so.
Venezuela has no...
We're doing it to Venezuela. I think for some other reasons included in this, we're going to do it to Venezuela because we can, and they can't do anything back.
A lot of this to me is whose team are you on? If this were the Democrats doing this, the Republicans would be going, what? You're using our military?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying a lot of political discussions today, you have to wade through what team you're on to find out, okay, what's the rightness or wrongness of a particular issue. I'm not saying I'm necessarily, I'm kind of undecided on this.
And I could be, and this is one of those things that is so murky that if someone can make the case, I'd be willing to change my mind.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth? Truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
So because of the population of the Somalis in Minneapolis,
yeah,
they the Minnesota Vikings have decided to change their name.
Of their mascot.
Did you guys see this?
I did.
I heard the news.
They are changing their name to the Somali Pirates.
Minnesota. So they're no longer going to be the Vikings, huh?
Yeah. No Viking. The Vikings, so Somali Pirates.
That's so out of date.
the Vikings?
Well, and you know, the difference between Vikings and Pirates is not all that significant.
<It's> close.
They're both
pretty good at pillaging, aren't they?
Pillaging, right. Absolutely.
Pillaging, good word.
All right, I'm Tim, Ed, and Fred, and Ray. And yeah, I've always had a little bit of a, I'm wondering, why so much romanticism with pirates? Pirates were wicked, evil people.
Yes.
Who? Huh?
Yeah.
And yet, you know.
You didn't want to be
so
out.
We celebrate pirates. Yeah. I'm not sure I understand how we get away with that, huh?
Well, if the pirate in question is Captain Jack Sparrow, then you just kind of go, well, what's the harm?
Right.
But it's those other dudes.
All right, you're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Well, we're in December, obviously, and so a lot of folks are thinking about year-end donations and gifts. And
it's 3 weeks till Christmas.
Oh, yeah, man. No. Is that like, you mean that from today?
Today.
Mm-hmm.
21 days.
That's a lifetime for gift buying, though. Don't you think?
Yeah,
for men.
Okay, Tim.
J.J. Jasper says as long as the
truck stops
open on Christmas Eve, you still got
you're okay.
You can still do your shopping.
That's right.
I didn't say that, J.J.
No, I know. Right. You would never say anything like that.
So, anyway, folks are considering what to do in terms of the donations and gifts year in. A lot of people do. And so we're here to talk about what we have to offer here at American Family Association. We have what we call our foundation at AFA and American Family Radio. And joining us to talk about what options are available to our listeners who want to make a gift is Chelsea Wildman. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
For those who don't know, Chelsea's my daughter-in-law and married to Wesley.
Right.
And they got three of my precious grandchildren.
Yes, sir.
And so I want to thank you for your contribution to that, Chelsea.
Well, you're very welcome. And, you know, the truck stopping here on December 24th, like you said, for mothers, it's up to that because you have those last minute. Hey, Mom, I want to add this to my Christmas list, and you're just going, okay.
Or so, you find out at the last minute that
absolutely.
You've got to have a gift for an exchange at school.
Yes.
Or how about they told Santa one thing and they didn't tell the parents?
Yeah.
That has happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So, Chelsea, our AFA Foundation, I want to ask you about the different offers that we have, but why do we exist?
Yes. So the AFA Foundation is our financial stewardship branch, and we exist to help our donors put in place lifetime income while also supporting the work of American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Okay. Like Bitcoin, things of that nature.
You know, we have had a question about how to gift that, I believe. But we do gear more toward the traditional gifts of cash, stock,
you can stop right
qualified
there.
Qualified charitable distribution.
Our listeners have been around long enough to know I'm pulling your leg, and I'm pulling their leg.
And if you want me to explain Bitcoin to our listening audience.
Oh, please, Ed.
Sure, just turn me loose.
All right. So, all right, here the main off we have, we do a estate planning. We help people include us in their wills.
Yes, we have wills guides. If any of our listeners are interested, we can actually provide a guide that will save them time and money with their attorney fees to be able to list who they would like in their will. And it's a great guide to have.
How do people get what you're talking about?
Yes, they can call us 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or shoot us an email at foundation@afa.net. So again, that's foundation@afa.net or 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
Okay, but the main thing we do is charitable gift annuities.
Yes.
Right? Charitable gift annuities. So explain how that works, because especially people are looking like, okay, I got $50,000. I got $100,000, whatever, and or maybe more. And I'm not sure. You know, I'm retired, but I may live 20 more years. I'm not sure what to do, or 30. Who knows? I'm not sure what to do with this money. And I would like to support the ministry of AFA and AFR, but I want it to benefit me.
Absolutely. That would be our charitable gift annuity. So anyone can put a gift in place. The minimum is just $2,000. Now it goes up from there, but $2,000 or more into a gift annuity. They give that gift, and in exchange, they would receive a lifetime income for the rest of their life. And the percentage is based on how old they are at the time they put the gift in place and then when they start to receive it. So obviously, the sooner you put it in place, and any amount of time that you wait, it would be a higher percentage.
But how
for
does
you.
That benefit AFA?
Yes. So for the donor, it's a benefit of a partial tax deduction the year that you give the gift, as well as partial tax-free income when you start to receive those payments.
Okay.
And then upon their passing, when they go home to be with the Lord, any remaining funds that have not been paid out to them are a gift to the ministry.
Okay. So if you want to do like a $100,000 charitable gift annuity, what's the minimum, by the way?
$2,000.
Okay. But let's say somebody wants to do $100,000. We have those.
We do.
People do a $100,000 charitable gift annuity, and they work with you all to get this in place. So you're telling me that they then get and you can tell them how much, they get a certain amount of money per month until they pass away.
That's correct. They can choose to receive it monthly, quarterly, annually, or semi-annually.
And what's left of that when they pass is then goes into the AFA.
Correct.
That's how that works.
It's a gift.
Okay,
yes.
It's a gift. It's considered a gift.
Yes.
Okay. So to find out more about this, what do the folks need to do?
Yes. Give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or send us an email, foundation@afa.net. You can also visit our website, and that is afafoundation.net to get more information.
Okay. And I will just tell everybody, and I've mentioned this before, we have 100-plus employees here at AFA, and we have folks like you guys that are from around the country.
Right.
With different a different way of talking and speaking, but if you call the AFA Foundation, Everybody's going to talk like Chelsea. Right there.
Which should be comforting, though.
We got three Southern Belles.
Yeah. It's very nice accents.
Yes, that's right.
Riley, Jessica, and myself. Right, yes, we can help them.
I'm kind of disappointed you did leave out one thing here as we get to the end of the year for tax-deductible purposes. Folks, the 8x10 glossies of Ed Vitagliano, these are tax deductible.
Yes, they are.
You can get as many as you want, share them with your friends, hand them out to neighbors, and that also go a long way to lowering your tax liability.
Absolutely.
For 2025.
Well, a few other ways, actually, Ed, are a qualified charitable distribution. That deadline is December the 8th.
What is that?
A qualified charitable distribution from a retirement account. So if you don't want to take on that tax burden of receiving that income, you can gift that to a ministry.
Okay.
Yes. So, and then we also have stalker mutual fund transfers.
Stalker mutual fund.
Stock or.
Oh, stock or.
That's some of that accent you were talking
yeah,
about.
Stalker. Why? Stalker. We don't need to advertise that.
Yes. Okay. Stock or mutual fund transfers are to be initiated by the broker by December 15th. All of these brokers
are very busy. Deadlines.
Yes, yes. So we definitely want to touch on these.
So can people read all this information you mentioned in the last 5 or 10 minutes? People can read all about that at our website, right?
Absolutely. AFAFoundation.net.
AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net. All right. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, remember, folks, that's AFAFoundation.net.
Please be sure to request your Ed Vitagliano 8x10 glossy.
8x10 glossy.
And for a gift of $10,000, Ed will sign that dude.
Hey, listen, I got to retire someday, too. So.
All right. Oh, my goodness.
Chelsea's a good sport.
Yes, she is. All right. So. Did you not think she said stalker?
No, she did. But that was kind of running it all together. But it did sound like stalker.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Yeah.
For those stalkers out there, we know you're trying to get rid of some cash. We'll take it.
Can you imagine everybody just tuned in right now?
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
this moment.
Well, that's on them. They should be listening to the whole show.
That's
every
right.
move you make, we'll be watching you. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Ray, and Fred. I'm going to do whiplash here before we get back to the news of the day. I failed to ask Ray. We talked about Advent the other day, and we are in that season. And Ray, you have another book available, right? Or another, what do you call
That's
it?
That's right. An Advent devotional, an e-book called Behold the Lamb, Advent from the Gospel of John. I am taking the four Gospels year by year, did Luke last year and John this year, and going to do Mark next year, and 2 years from now, God willing, Gospel of Matthew this year, Advent from the Gospel of John. And we're working our way through the whole Gospel of John today here on December the 4th. We're looking at one of the more famous ones, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, one translation says, He moved into our neighborhood. Wonderful picture of why Christ came. And I want to encourage all of our AFR listeners to join us on this Advent journey. It's not too late. If you'd like a free copy of the ebook, we've got it in Kindle, we've got it in EPUB, and we've got it in PDF. Just go to keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com. Right there on the front page, it says, download your free Advent ebook. You just follow the prompts, download, and just join us, friends, as we are journeying through John on our way to Christmas Day. Behold the Lamb, Advent from the Gospel of John.
Now, next year you say it's the Gospel of Mark. Doesn't he basically skip the Advent in the Gospel? How does that work?
Look, if you want the shepherds, you got to go to Luke. If you want the wise men, you got to go to Matthew, right?
Yeah.
If you want the scribes who wouldn't come to Bethlehem and no room at the inn, if you want the scribes, go to Matthew. If you want the no room at the inn, you got to go to Luke. And in John, here's the great thing, what we're doing this year, it's Christmas before Bethlehem.
Yeah, I like that.
What was going on in the heart and mind of God before the world was even created? You get the great panoramic view of why Christ came. And so here's the thing. It's not, you don't, you have to ask the question, did John not know about the angels and the shepherds and glory to God in the highest? Of course he did. But he wrote his gospel in AD 93, maybe a full generation after the others. So the other part of the story was already written. John's giving us the great big picture. Next year, we're going to discover Mark actually talks about the coming of Christ. He just drops the crumbs all over the place.
Oh,
in the
that sounds
of
great.
So
yeah.
it's going to be a fun journey next year.
Thought you had Ray, didn't you, there, Ian?
No, I was curious. I thought, man, he goes right to like John the Baptist, Mark does. But I'm actually excited about the fact that Ray's going to cover how Mark drops this in all through his gospel. So you can't get the drop on Ray Pritchard.
It's not that hard.
That doctor in front, that means something.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
Well, last year during the election campaign, the country got to know the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, because he was the choice of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Many Americans have breathed a sigh of relief as the result of the elections did not go that way. Well, Tim Walz didn't win that election, but boy, his name is in the news a whole lot these days. And that has to do with what a lot of people are calling the Somali fraud scandal. Mm-hmm. And that's all about during COVID and in the years that followed. The allegation is, and so there's been almost 80 arrests involved with this, that groups of Somalis in Minneapolis in particular were using COVID funds for not the relief they were advertised for. They were basically fraud millions of dollars. In fact, somebody has put it at a total of $1 billion misused funds.
These are federal, just to be clear, and sorry to interrupt you, I just want people to know, well, people think, well, that's in Minnesota, I don't live there, why do I care? Mm-hmm. We're talking about federal tax dollars that were, that's what we're talking about, right?
That is what we're talking about.
Okay, so that money, organizations could apply for grants.
That is correct.
During COVID.
Yes.
What the feds have found out, and they've got like 70-something indictments, right?
Correct.
Is that in the Somali community in Minneapolis, they were billing, they were submitting invoices or whatever you want to call them to the government, whatever government agency was distributing this federal tax money in the name of relief, and they were fraudulent claims.
Yes.
They claimed they were feeding children. They weren't. It was just taking in this money. There was little or no oversight here.
Yes.
And so this money, as it turns out, a lot of it was being then funneled to a terrorist organization.
In Somalia.
Have I got this story right?
You've got it right.
Okay. So, and to the tune of billions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions, maybe a total of a billion.
The accusation is being made by whistleblowers and others is that Governor Tim Walz, a Democrat, knew about this, was going on, but he didn't want to do anything about it because he would upset the Somali population and be seen as a white man governor being a racist against the black Somalis. Have I got this story right?
You pretty well summarized it.
Okay, well, there you go.
Summarized it all.
Carry on, Fred.
Here's what's interesting. We've had editorials in recent days in the New York Times and now in the Washington Post condemning Governor Walz for not doing correct proper oversight over all of this.
What has he said? Do you know?
Well, basically, he says, we have a wonderful state here. You know, we have AAA rating, and everybody loves us.
We got a lot of lakes.
Yeah. It's a wonderful spot. But what's interesting, New York Times, Washington Post, and not conservative entities at all, they are turning on him and saying he bears at least some of the blame in all of this. Jonathan Turley, if you watch Fox News, he's on there a lot. He's a George Washington University professor, a legal expert. He was asked about all of this morning, cut number 12.
It's baffling, and to have Governor Walz say, well, I don't deal with abstractions, there's nothing abstract about this. In a short period of time, the number of autism centers increased by 700%. The amount of funding increased by 3,000%. I mean, these people were virtually taking the furniture out of the governor's mansion. And the most that Walz can say is that, well, we're a prosperous and generous state. Well, that's not going to cut it. This is not your money. And anyone who looks at those numbers, and this point was made by the Washington Post, could not help but say, wow, there is an amazing amount of fraud occurring in my state.
Well, and Jonathan Turley made mention of autism. One of the entities allegedly created by these Somali groups, they were petitioning money from the federal government to help families who have autistic children. Well, they couldn't find, when they did the investigation, they couldn't find where any of this money went to families.
Not a single autistic child.
Not one.
Helped.
They had a good thing going on there. They were ripping off the taxpayer. Wow. Huh? Sounds like, so am I right, 70-plus indictments?
Yes, 78, I think it's the last count.
So this would probably a U.S. attorney's office is handling this.
Yes.
In the Minnesota.
And this actually started, and we want to be clear about this, the investigation actually started under Joe Biden's Attorney General Garland. Because we've been doing stories about this for two or three years.
So it's not partisan.
It's not partisan at all.
Which is probably why the New York Times and Washington Post are getting on this. Listen, I don't think you can blame Governor Walz for this. He goes out and does a lot of duck hunting. I've seen pictures. You guys remember the pictures during the election?
Yeah, busy.
He's got a lot on his plate, so.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what
That's
happens.
That's sarcasm, folks.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. How many Somalis live in?
I've heard the number of 200,000.
And Obama brought them all in, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
And that's the congressional district is represented by Ilhan Omar.
Yes.
Isn't that her name?
Yes.
Ilhan, how do you pronounce
it? Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar.
The Somali population in Minneapolis, Minnesota, now this is not nationwide, approximately 83,000 to 84,000 in the broader Twin Cities metropolitan area. Statewide, estimates are up to over 100,000.
How'd they get in? Was it because of climate change?
Refugees.
Or what?
Yep.
Climate change.
Climate change?
I would figure they brought these Somalis over about in June. Wouldn't you think? Whatever year.
And say, hey, listen, isn't this great?
I don't think
they
brought the Somalis over here in January and said, here's where you're going to live.
Yeah.
Are you happy with it?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I guess some here, but does anyone remember the reasons? Ray, do you remember this? Why Obama brought the. Type that in. Why did Obama bring in all the Somalis? They're probably going to say they were they in a civil war? They were did they get asylum or what happened here?
Well, I am typing this in.
Yeah, because I don't remember.
There is civil war, I think, in Somalia.
There always is.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So I think that they were refugees. this says. Okay, and this is probably AI. So Barack Obama did not specifically bring Somalis to the United States, but during his presidency, around 54,000 Somali refugees were resettled in the U.S. as part of an existing refugee resettlement program. This program was not exclusive to Somalis or initiated solely by Obama. The resettlement of Somali refugees occurred due to prolonged instability and violence in Somalia, which created a significant humanitarian crisis.
Yeah. That's what AI says?
That's what AI says.
That's that. Are you talking about that when you type something in on Google and all that information pops
up? Yes. Well, this is actually on Brave. as
okay,
the
brave.
Web browser. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure which. It just says AI generated answer. Please verify critical facts.
But they all live in a. They all live in a. Almost all of them live in a certain area there.
Yeah, and they call it Little Mogadishu.
Okay.
Because that was the primary city of a lot of the instability in Somalia.
Gotcha. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story.
Well, we talked about Tim Walz. On the ticket with him, of course, was Kamala Harris running for president last year.
Powerhouse ticket.
Well, she's out there trying to sell her book. And Democrat Governor of Pennsylvania Josh Shapiro is not happy with some of the things in the book. In fact, he has said what she says about him, he is describing them as blatant lies. For instance, she wrote in her book that he wanted to be involved with all the decisions that the president made. And she said a vice president is not a co-president. He's very unhappy with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, some people say, would like to run for president a few years from now.
Bring it.
Josh Shapiro probably would not get her vote.
Yeah.
And he's a Democrat.
Kamala Harris better, she just better cash in her charitable gift annuity. her Bitcoin or something, because she's done.
She could buy some 8x10 glossies of Ed Vitagliano.
Well, she could and invest in that.
Yeah.
But I think she's finished as far as her political future's concerned. She's got nowhere to go. And all right, we'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues. Stay with us.